Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 20th year bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this radio station. And most of all, for you, the listener, for all the prayers and support over the many years, the provision that we can keep bringing these messages to you for many more years to come. Today, we're going to be talking about the blood of the martyrs. And this is a message in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Lots of comments about it, lots of opinions. But this is what I believe the Lord is saying to me because of the fact that the blood of the innocent was shed. And I believe Charlie Kirk was a martyr. And so this is going to be an appropriate message for this situation and also for the body of Christ and for the whole world in the days to come. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 6. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? Raining just about every day. We're in the short rains, but it feels like a pretty heavy rainy season right now. And so we've got lots of crops in the field, working on our crops every day, digging the weeds, fertilizing, planting more sukuma and other vegetables. And so we're very busy on the farm, feeding 35 to 40 people every day. And so that is a big task besides all the preaching and other aspects of the ministry. And so we want to build a school out there in Makunda. We ask you to come alongside, catch the vision for this school. We want to build a primary school for 200 to 300 students, 8 classrooms and dining hall, administrative block. So we want to have you to come alongside and catch the vision so we can keep these young people in school. Many of them of the Muslim religion, they don't really value education. Many of the families don't value education, so the children drop out grade 6, grade 8. And so we want to keep them in school, have them in a good Christian environment, and teach them about the principles of the gospel, the basics of the gospel. At the same time, we're giving them a good foundation in ABCs and a good foundation in their education. So that is the plan, that is the goal, that is the vision. If you think you can help us on that, we're asking the Lord, trusting the Lord for $300,000, and we're going to get this school built. So we invite you to come alongside, help us to fulfill this vision. Contact me, pureprairie at hotmail, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can fill you in on the details and help you come alongside us here in the vision to build that school. Well, today we're going to be talking about the blood of the martyrs. And as I spoke in the preview, this is in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And many people have different opinions on that assassination. Charlie was a bold evangelist. He was a bold witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was shot, as you know, out in Utah while he was engaging students on a campus there in Utah. He was engaging students in controversial subjects having to do with transgender policies and all of that kind of stuff, many different gospel subjects, many, many different issues pertaining to life of the students in their relation to the gospel. And so he was a brash and a bold witness. So we're going to look today at the story of the first Christian martyr. His name was Stephen. He was not really a preacher, not really an evangelist. He was appointed to be a deacon with the first deacons that were appointed in the New Testament church. These were the men who were full of the Holy Spirit and were appointed to serve the tables to the New Testament church, to the members of the New Testament church. And so Stephen found himself in a situation where he was preaching to a group called the Synagogue of the Freedmen, and they were antagonistic to the gospel message. They were antagonistic to the story that Stephen was telling them about the Messiah, about the coming of the Messiah, the man that they crucified. And so we'll pick this up in Acts chapter 6 here. And in verse 7, it says, "The word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." And then in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." So in a way, he had the apostolic anointing. He was doing great signs and wonders. He was actually an officer. As a deacon, he was an officer of the church. But it says that he was full of faith and doing great signs and wonders. And then he somehow found himself, by the grace of God, ordained by God, to go preach to these people called the synagogue of the freedmen. Verse 9, "And there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." And so when he started to speak to them, when he started to preach to them, there was great wisdom coming from the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by God. He was ordained by God, sent by God. And so this story is very appropriate concerning Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk was 31 years old when he was assassinated, when he died, 31 years old, and he was 18 when he was sent out by the Lord to engage students in the universities, colleges, and high schools all across the land, not just in America, but he also traveled to other countries as well. And so he was sent out by God when he was 18 years old, skipped college, and went straight to the battlefield, went straight to the mission field to engage the culture, which in the last 10 to 20 years in America, you know, the culture has swayed young people to the point where many of them are very confused about their sexuality. Many of them are confused about issues regarding marriage, issues regarding the Bible, issues regarding all kinds of moral issues. And so he was sent to engage these young people on the campuses of the United States and other countries, to engage them and bring them back to a viewpoint or a worldview that we would call a biblical worldview or a Christian worldview. And so that is going right into the lion's den. That's going right into the battlefield. And you can understand that it took a lot of courage, a lot of boldness, and a lot of money to do this. And Charlie was a very unique individual, well-read, read 100 books every year, he said, and other study of the gospel. He could quote scripture all day long. And so this is a story of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. And of course, over the years, there's been many Christian martyrs in America and also in other countries around the world. But a martyr is somebody who has their bloodshed, the bloodshed of the innocents, and that bloodshed then cries out from the land, that shed blood of the innocents. And we go back, and in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, it says that Eve bore again, this time the brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and his countenance fell, and Cain was very angry. We're not told why the Lord did not respect the offering of Cain. May it had something to do with Cain's heart, not necessarily the offering itself, but had something to do with Cain's heart, his attitude in giving to the Lord. And so his offering was not respected by God, and Cain's countenance fell, and he became very angry. Well, in verse 10 in Genesis 4, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Cain after he had rose up and killed his brother Abel out in the field. The Lord spoke to him and said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So you are now cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And so we see that the blood of Abel speaks from the ground. The blood of innocence cries out from the ground. And when you understand that and consider that, the blood of 60 million innocents that have been slaughtered in the United States of America in the way of abortion or by the way of abortion, that blood cries out from the land, just as Abel's blood cries out from the land, just as Stephen's blood cries out from the land. And so when people who are innocent, when their blood is shed, because the life is in the blood, the lifeblood of man is in the blood, the lifeblood has a voice, it cries out from the land, and so that voice then echoes in the ears of God. And so God is a God of justice. He has to make right all of the wrongs on the earth. He has to bring into balance and back into justice wherever there is injustice, wherever there is murder, wherever there is innocents that have been slaughtered or killed for whatever cause. And so God is a God of justice, so he has to right the wrongs of that situation. Well, Hebrews 12:24 says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than the blood of Abel. So in a way, Jesus was the first New Testament martyr, you could say. His blood covered the sins of all mankind. His blood was taken to heaven, gathered up at the foot of the cross, gathered up at the whipping post, taken up into heaven and presented as an offering for the sins of all mankind, the propitiation, the payment for the sins of all mankind. And so that blood speaks for us today. It speaks to us and for us, it speaks to us a better way, a new covenant, a new and living way, but it speaks for us also, because the payment for our sins has been made in heaven once and for all. Jesus doesn't have to go in to the Holy of Holies every year, just like the Old Testament priests went in to the Holy of Holies and made a sacrifice of blood or a payment of blood that came from bulls and goats and rams and other animals. Jesus, once he paid that payment of blood, his precious, special, perfect blood, that payment then was good for the sins of man, going back all the way to Adam, going forward all the way to the end of time. And there will never be another payment, because Jesus' payment paid the full debt for sin for all mankind. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we could know the righteousness of God. And so once the payment is made, it is sufficient for the salvation and the remission of sins of people going back, as I said, to Adam and going forward here. Now we're in 2025, going forward 2,000 years, and it will keep going forward to pay for the sins of all mankind, even if Jesus doesn't come back for another 1,000 years. So in relation to the shed blood of the innocents, here we have Stephen preaching the gospel to the synagogue of the freemen. They were not receiving his message. And it says again in verse 10, chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And they were secretly induced, men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And so the resentment was building in these men. They were getting very angry. And I suggest you go and read that whole chapter 6 in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7. There's a great story that Stephen tells about how Jesus Christ came to be, that Jesus Christ was the deliverer of God's message. He was the deliverer of salvation. And so read that. But the resentment was building in this synagogue of the freedmen. They were getting very angry as they were listening to Stephen. Their anger was starting to build up and they were starting to lash out. They were starting to gnash their teeth. And in the finish here, Stephen says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And so Stephen is really getting under their skin now. They're starting to get very agitated. Verse 52, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one." That's Jesus Christ. "They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." Then in Acts verse 7, verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart," pierced to the heart. Very same thing that told about the people listening to Apostle Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2. It says they were pierced to the heart. They were cut to the heart by the message of the gospel. And so the word of God will do that. It will cut people to the heart. The word of God is living and active, quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the souls and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so when you preach the gospel to people, even to those who resist it, even to those who are agitated by it, it cuts them. Sometimes the reaction is vengeance. Sometimes the reaction is violence. People will get cut to the heart. And that was what was happening with Charlie Kirk. The people who were listening to him were getting cut to the heart, not necessarily those people standing in front of him that day, but the people in general all across the nation. There is a great anger and hatred from people who are walking with the devil, who are listening to the devil and acting out the devil, the devil's platform, the devil's program, the devil's plan in their life. And so these people are very agitated, and one of them picked up a rifle and made plans to shoot and assassinate Charlie Kirk. Well, the synagogue or the freedmen were doing the very same thing. When they heard these things, Acts 7:54, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And so we see a picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's no longer sitting because he was watching Stephen preach to the synagogue of the freedmen. He was watching Stephen. He was sending his angels to encourage Stephen. He was sending his angels to strengthen Stephen. He was sending his angels to circumcise and pierce the hearts of the men who were listening to Stephen's message. And so now Jesus Christ is standing and he's cheering Stephen on. And so this is a wonderful picture of how this first Christian martyr laid down his life, shed his precious blood to see the gospel go forward. And so in verse 55 again, "But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" And they picked up stones and they took him outside the city. They picked up stones. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And verse 59, "And they stoned Stephen. And he was calling on God, as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And so Stephen, the first Christian martyr, spoke the message that pierced the heart of these freedmen. It pierced the heart to the point where they got very agitated and they wanted to carry out vengeance. They wanted to carry out murder. They got so angry in their heart, they wanted to carry out murder. And so that tells you right there that they were working with the devil, that they were in line with the devil, because we know that the Bible says that the devil was the murderer from the beginning. Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, the father of lies," and he was speaking lies from the beginning. He is a murderer from the beginning. And so when you preach the gospel, when you speak the gospel, you're sometimes going to get people very agitated, and they will start to seek vengeance on you. They will start to react in a way that you cannot predict. And sometimes this then becomes the scene for a martyr's death, a martyr's place where the martyr sheds his innocent blood. Well, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see then the start of the revival that comes from the death of Stephen. And I believe this is going to happen with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I believe you're going to see a great revival. I believe you saw the start of it down there at Charlie Kirk's memorial there in Phoenix, Arizona, a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a tremendous outpouring of love and gratitude for Charlie's life. And people recognized there was something very special there, very special, that this is going to be the start of a great revival that's going to sweep across the United States of America, a great revival that's going to sweep across the nations of the earth, not just America. There's people here in Kenya that knew about Charlie Kirk. I was just visiting with a pastor last week, and he said his children, primary school age, he said his children just love Charlie Kirk here in Mumias, Kenya. Can you believe that? And I know pastors in Brazil, I know pastors all over the world that knew about Charlie Kirk, appreciated his teachings, appreciated his boldness and his approach to preaching the gospel and reaching out to young people. And so this revival is going to sweep across the earth, and it's already started. People gathering in stadiums, people gathering in meetings in every country in the world, people gathering in meetings in college campuses. They said the outpouring of college campuses and high schools in America of people who wanted to start Charlie Kirk Turning Point chapters jumped from 20,000 requests a month to like 60,000 requests just within a few days of his assassination. And so the revival is starting. The shed blood of the innocent, the shed blood of the martyr, cries out from the land, and it cries out to the point where people are going to respond, and there's going to be a move of God across the United States of America and a move of God across the earth because of this one man. Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see the very same thing, the parallel to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Stephen has been killed, and Saul, the man who was standing there holding the cloak of the ones who were stoning Stephen, and Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, all except the apostles. And then in verse 4, Acts 8, verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And so the revival, the preaching of the word, went into all the nations around Jerusalem. And the apostles ended up, some of them in India, some of them in Africa. The Ethiopian eunuch in the next chapter in Acts, he ends up back in Ethiopia spreading the gospel. And so this shed blood of one man, Stephen, became the first Christian martyr in the New Testament. After his death, the revival started, the push started to push the gospel, the good news of the gospel, into every country across the earth. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a martyr out there in Makunda Village as I wrap up today. There was a martyr, a young man who was a Muslim in Makunda Village, and he was one of the first ones. Makunda was a lost village. It was bypassed for the most part, by people in this area. It kind of sits off by itself, a place of grass, a place for the cattle to graze. And he was killed. He received the gospel message. He was one of the first converts in that village, first convert, one of the first ones to receive the gospel message. People of that village in Macunda rose up and killed him. And he was buried right next door to where our church was. And we didn't know anything about his story when we had the dedication of Living Water Church of Macunda. We heard this story from a person who came to the dedication. He told us a story about this young man named David. He was about 20 years old. And there was a prophecy spoke at the funeral of this young man, David. And the prophecy said, there will be a church planted right here at this place where this young man has been buried. And certainly our church is a fulfillment of that prophecy, Living Water Church of Macunda. We have a church with 80 or 90 adult members, many children every Sunday, and we are the fulfillment of that prophecy to carry out the good news of the gospel into Macunda Village. We're building a Christian center inside this Muslim village. And by the grace of God and your help, we're going to get it done. And we're going to get that school built. We're going to continue to build this Christian center inside Macunda Village. Well, beloved, the blood of the martyrs cries out to you. What are you going to do with your life today? What are you going to do to help spread the gospel to the nations of the earth, to help gather the outcasts and other ministries, spread the gospel? I hope you come alongside and help us move the gospel into the nations of Africa. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry, come alongside and make a donation. Help us keep these radio broadcasts coming. Help us keep the children's home going, all the different aspects of the ministry that we have going. Sit down today, write out a check, send your prayer requests along with it. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can check us out at PayPal at paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Or you can look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/JimRouse. See pictures of the ministry here in Africa. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.